Hello, everyone. Welcome back to LARPs and TARPs. We are here today to talk about E1 Part 1.
Whee!
Fucking yippee!
What a treat.
Treat. It is a treat indeed. So you will know us all by now, but today we are joined
this
by...
This could be someone's first episode. You
well,
don't
that's why
know.
I was saying today we are joined by.
Well,
don't
okay.
interrupt me, Morgan.
Hurry up, then.
Stop mansplaining me.
Terrible. Well, understand better. That's my only...
Wow. Okay, so I'm glad we're getting cancelled because of you and not Tom, like, first thought. But anyway, so, Tom.
I thought I was Morgan.
Christ, you don't want to be Morgan right now. Morgan's getting a slap after we start recording. After we finish recording.
Listen to that cheeky giggle.
Well, anyway, okay, so we're here with Tom, who's not a dick, Morgan, who is a dick, and Alex, who is sometimes a dick.
Hello.
There we go. All the dicks in
and
the room.
And Chloe without a dick.
But the biggest dick here.
Everyone's catching strays. Good God.
Well, that's right. Because God. There's so much dick.
Welcome, everyone.
But every time I intro, it always fucking gets derailed immediately. Yeah. Like, what is it? I think that was fairly normal, you know?
Yeah, look. One day we'll get the hang of it.
We're not professional podcasters.
Yes, like, we are. Very professional.
I can't even compare ourselves to anyone. No one else is professional. Anyway, E1 Part 1.
Yay!
Woohoo! Friday night. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. Christ.
It was quite a tame Thirsty Thursday, really.
Oh, don't... We don't talk about Thursday.
I got given a little Siaka Herald by Will. That was nice.
I do want to say I got my little embroidered Tristan Chibi on Thursday, which was very nice.
That's so fucking good.
We should post pictures to the Instagram.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram?
Socials. Yeah.
We do. We never use it. It's all about the Facebook.
It's all about the Facebook. All the cool kids are on Facebook.
Yeah. We didn't all download Facebook for laugh again.
But yeah, Friday was, well...
Friday was a time.
If you're in Dawn, Friday was crazy.
No one was in Dawn.
Oh.
In the room.
No one in the room was in Dawn at the time. No, you're right. Yeah. No, I wasn't there. I mean, honestly, some of the most intense drama I've seen at Empire, it was straight out the gate.
You see, I didn't hear it was straight out the gate because the Reapers invited me to a private table they booked at Wise Guys to watch the drama.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no drama at the time they booked the table.
I know a couple of people that went over to have a look to see everything kick off, and it just...
Can't have taken more than half an hour to get started.
Yeah, but I think they went dead on, beelined it straight to the Glory Square.
I think because it was before 7, because it was before the land... Oh, no. It was around 7, because just before the Lance Captain's meeting, and everyone was kind of milling around and seeing what was going on. And then Arcavian, General of the Griffin's Pride.
A controversial character, perhaps?
Maybe a little bit. Marches into the Glory Square and starts talking about his justifications and why he did things. And then people came in to kind of shout back at him. Someone brought out an oath he'd sworn not to do a thing. He was like making rebuttals. It was all kicking off. There was like people shouting across the Glory Share, people screaming abuse at him, like all these mates. There was a gaggle of leaguers who were defending them, all wearing masks. I don't know who they were.
Gaggle is the most appropriate word for a group of leaguers.
They were guising, so completely anonymous.
No idea who they were. No, absolutely. Didn't have the courage to show their faces.
Hey, I was doing business as I was at Dedicum's ball.
I obviously know who they are. But it was like, again, real intense kickoff to the drama at the start. Crazy beginning. And then it wasn't long after that where the Imperial Spymaster started. Now, I'm not going to say what he was saying.
I hear it was some really whack shit.
He was throwing some accusations about the Empress very loudly in the Glory Square.
Oh, I heard about these.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Very loudly. I'm not going to say what they were because they're very intense. Making some accusations, shouting a list of things that she'd done and said and
lies.
The Empress
had kidney stones. A lot like Tristan.
Well... Later, as we're all watching him kind of rant, we just hear behind us, the Empress is coming! And then we look down, and marching up the towards the Glory Square in like full regalia. It was the Empress storming towards. I was like, it felt like I was at a WWE wrestling match.
Oh, stunning.
It was like burst into the Glory Square.
It's the Empress with the steel chair.
Burst into the Glory Square and starts doing a speech back. And it was crazy. It was like proper theatrics, like everything kicking off. I missed Lance Captain's meeting, which was a nightmare. But honestly, really cool way to start, like all the drama in the centre of the Glory Square. Very cool.
I'm really glad I caught the tail end of it, because I thought I was going to join the Reapers for their private little booth. They invited me, but then just about to set off, one of my jackdaws grabs me. He's like, Narciso's not here, but he's asked me to do this. I hate public speaking. Nietzsche, it's on you. Go.
God.
So I had to introduce the least Nietzsche plan of all time. I had to say that the jackdaws are doing a census. And I'm like, I don't understand the fucking value of this, but my fucking accountant wants to do a league census.
Can Nietzsche count?
Nietzsche can count.
Oh.
He's got...
Revelation.
Yeah, fingers and toes to work off it.
That's it, that's the limit. Socks?
There's 8 crowns in a ring, the thumbs are a waste of space. Sorry, 8 crowns in a throne, the thumbs are a waste of space, doesn't need them.
Exactly. So Narciso wanted to do a census to see who has what resources in the league, what people do, how can we help each other, find each other if we need to be, so everyone can profit. Although Nietzsche does not believe in organization and was scratching his head to the value of that. But it was my first time speaking at Debutants Ball, so that was fun. It felt like everyone was speaking at Debutants Ball. Like, you know that there's the bit of nerves at the start, and then after it gets going, everyone's introducing themselves, which was a lot of fun.
I love how it's called the Debutants Ball. That's so funny.
Yeah. Balls all over. So classy.
Dear.
What about you guys? What did you filthy Navari kick off with?
I can't remember, like, dead on time on, you know. But I remember I got told that... Oh, shit, fuck me. So I got told that someone that Neve very much looked up to and was excited to see this event, someone that had been, like, somewhat of a mentor to her, died in between E4 and E1.
Oh, no, who died?
It was Austin, leader of Embercast, one of the other line captains of Navarre.
Sad.
Died in Thrunin. And that was fucking devastating to learn, because I had absolutely no idea that this was going to be going on. I was excited, and like I learned a lot from Austin. I was really fucking gutted. I was like, shit. Like, Neve just keeps losing more and more people. Like, anybody that she even semi-cares or looks up to, and they just die. Like, right, wonderful. So kicked off finding that pretty much at time in, and then we had standing, and then Thorn's Council. So I was doing all of that. Kind of it for early-ish evening. I had to pop to the Reaper camp very briefly. To have a little word with a couple of those, but we'll get onto that shortly. But yeah, what did you do at Simon, Alex?
Well, I mean, we timed him at camp, didn't we? Because Aidan had his embroideries for us to give us.
Oh, was that time in?
I think it was around time in, or it was early on in the Friday. Maybe it was a little after time in. But no, yeah, just had a really relaxed timing, smoking me pipe.
Yeah.
You didn't go and get a kettle of ale timing?
I didn't. No, I didn't have a kettle of ale for the weekend.
My lord.
No, I guess it's just more of a notice thing now. Maybe it just didn't feel right. I did consider cooking hot dogs in it at one point, but...
Ooh, fair enough.
That's pretty much...
Pouring them out the spout once they're done.
Yeah.
Ew.
For Tom to say ew at something meat-related, that is actually quite an achievement.
Did you once eat a tin of meat? Like,
bacon. I ate a tin of spam in traffic to download.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't that one. It was bacon-flavoured meat.
Oh, yeah.
Tin, cold.
Not even bacon. Bacon-flavoured meat.
That from was the tin, true cold. Nightmare and flying lead nightmare.
But a hot dog in a kettle, oh my.
I can just imagine. Would you like a hot dog, friend? Oh, yeah, go on then. Floop, floop, floop. I think I'm all right, actually.
Lands in their meat, sticking out like little garnish.
Did you just deep-throat the spout?
Just
and then swallow like a duck.
Like a seagull.
Like regurgitate it later for your little midnight snack. Well,
that kettle's hallowed, so there'd be courageous sausages.
Sacred sausages.
There'd be sacred
sausages.
That's
what you should have had testimony. Sacred sausage.
Yeah.
It's going to be the new Red Fear. You see all the bar wenches holding you up with handcuffs. Now it's just going to be Alex forcing us about down your own sausage.
You pay good money for that in places. Yeah. I'll have you know.
Oh, Christ alive.
But yeah, that's
sausage in a kettle.
The only action the kettle nearly got all weekend.
That could be your new sausage name, Sausage and Spout.
Sausage in a Spout. Oh, what a cute little jingle you could make for
cute
that.
Cute jingle for a fraggly, horrible thing.
You need to disguise it as something nice.
That's tickled me.
Oh, God. But yeah, a very relaxed time in, and you know me, you know my characters. I didn't have anything excessive planned as soon as it kicked off.
Well, you're going to be senator.
Well, I'm getting there.
Yeah, it's only had one event.
One vote at a time.
Yeah, and I know how to win them. Courageous sausages.
Just force feed people sausages.
Where they're like the democracy sausage.
No.
In Australia, they have like democracy sausages where when you vote, you get a free hot dog. That's
why don't we have that in the UK?
Well, it's, what are we doing wrong?
Well, because in Australia, you not have to vote. It's illegal not to, right? So they give you a democracy sausage. You get a hot dog at some places.
Oh, because you were forced to do
something. Because you were forced to go vote, they also give you a hot dog.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had a pretty easy going time in. But yeah.
Well, around 8 o'clock, which I think is when you got a big thing as well, all the Imperial Orcs turned up to Dawn. And started screaming at the Dornish.
Ooh, good. That sounds fun.
Because obviously the whole Arcavian sending people to kill the Raven thing, and the Imperial Orcs trying to work with the Raven. So they came with loads of bloodied banners that they'd taken from the battlefield.
Oh, what a fucking statement.
Oh, it was so cool. And there was stuff Glory Ain't Shit, like scrawled over stuff.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Someone had taken like a Griffin's Pride flag and then painted a unicorn over the top. Because I don't know if you saw on the Wind of Fortune, but like if you supported the Raven, you wore a unicorn. If you supported the Raven, you wore a griffin. They'd paint the unicorn over the top of like the thing of the griffin. It was very cool.
What a fucking statement.
Oh, it was crazy. Again, so much drama in Dawn. Did feel sorry for my good friend, Sir Sion Kendai, who was completing his test of battle in the Glory Square when they all arrived. It was a performance, and all of a sudden they all arrived, and we were like, oh, they're all
hello.
Yelling. But speaking
great
of.
Great performer.
Speaking of, really cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. He was singing a song of the part of his test metal was he had to create a tale of the Knights of the Winged Lions, which is the lance we all fight in. And he mentioned like met all the nobles from the lance and the people who died and stuff. Really cool.
Oh,
awesome. Really emotional. He then sent me a handwritten invite to be there because like I was in the song and stuff.
Aww.
And I was like, we went, there's some teary eyes as they talk about people that died and stuff. There was a really cool moment where two of the people who died are now in Highguard. And at one point I turned around and there's two Highguard stood there just watching the song get played.
Aww.
And it was literally like it was two ghosts because they died at the event before.
Yeah.
It was like there was two ghosts watching the performance. And I was like,
man, this fucking game.
I'm fine.
Dan, who plays him, he's a fucking talented dude.
So good.
Yeah.
And now he's Lord Sidon de Gorvan. So it's very cool.
So many lords.
Nobility all over the shop. But that was what I was doing before running up to the Regio to go see something I missed. But I'll let you guys talk about that now.
It was quite a thing you missed as well, wasn't it? So, like I said, I had to run up to the Reaper camp because we had the Reapers were doing Whispers Through the Black Gate for us. For Otis. So I had to go and just give some information about Otis and things like that. So we headed up to the Regio at 8. And I think at 8:10, we were all systems go, weren't we?
Oh, I just missed you then.
Yeah.
I was there like 5. I think I was there at like 20:15, I think. I was like just missed.
I think I caught the end of it at 20:20.
Oh. Yeah. Because, yeah, we'll get on to what was happening. Tell me from your point of view before I say my point of view.
So I walked up with you guys and kind of OC had a quick chat on the way there with the Reapers priests. They are priests, aren't they? That's the term, isn't it?
Yeah, they won't be priests. Yeah, they'll be...
Necromancers.
Yeah, they'll be magicians.
Magicians.
What's a leaguish spellcaster called?
It depends. You've got the Montebank, the magical con man, or the dramaturgists.
Cool. One of them.
So I went with the priests and we... And we were chatting about kind of how it's going to go down, what they're going to do, etc. And then went into the tent where the refs were really informative. They let me know what was going to happen. And you definitely got the sense that this was a very emotional experience for a lot of people, more so than I was expecting, because there was also, like, it felt like there was almost an element of counseling to it, the way they were like, so this is how it's going to happen, and you just got to make sure that you're going to be okay, and if you're going to cry, you know, you'll be the same as everybody else. I don't know if anybody's ever done this and not cried. It's going to be really emotional, but you'll be okay, which was really sweet. And I was like, oh god, am I going to be okay? But
I could picture you being just the most blasé bastard about it, just fag-handing out your mouth, tinny in one hand, sup, Neve.
Yeah. And in there, in the tent, in the OC area, there's cameras and screens, so I could actually see from where I was the ritual begin.
Oh,
that's cool.
And the priest magicians get into place. And basically, I was waiting for the signal, which was Otis, my name. And it's at that point that I think the timer starts, or the timer has already started, and then I've got to basically just walk out. And it was weird. It was like going onto stage without a script. It felt a bit strange. But up to that point, how was it in the icy bit?
It was really, really fucking cool. So I haven't actually... The only time I've ever been up to the Regio is when we lured Murdoch up there and I cursed him. So very, very limited interaction up at the Regio. But yeah, so the Reapers were doing their thing. They're all saying words. They were telling the stories that I told them about Otis. They're talking about the bond between Otis and Neve, talking about the kettle of ale, they spoke about the pantomime. It was really fun. Like, it was really nice. It was really sweet. And we're all kind of waiting. And then obviously they called you out and you came into the circle, and then they kind of waved me in, and I stepped in, and they were like, you know, he's here. Is there anything you'd like to say to him? And I don't know. I was debating. I wasn't really sure how I wanted to play this out. You know, like, I hadn't really thought about it too much. Like, I didn't know if I wanted it to just be a you and I thing, Alex, or if I wanted to make sure that everyone around us could hear what we were saying. But I decided, I think mostly just because I didn't really know how to role play it, I was like, I'll keep it quiet. Like, I'll keep this as a personal, intimate moment. And we had a bit of a chat, didn't we? It was just more of like a, I just want to know how he's doing. Is he okay? Is he safe? Like, tell him that I love him, you know, that I miss him, and all of this sort of stuff. And it was, you know, it was very emotional, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I felt myself choking up. Like, because obviously, because I'm a ghost, so I can't see anybody other than the people performing the ritual. Mm. And couldn't, as you know, like, he was a translator, essentially, and we spoke through him. But in my peripherals, I could definitely see everybody surrounding. And I was like, oh, fuck, look how many people came. Like, it was real sweet.
Yeah.
And then when I saw you starting to get choked up asking the questions, that's when I got a lump in my throat. I was like, oh, fuck's sake, don't cry.
Oh, God. It was really hard.
Yeah, it was hard to kind of, stay composed. And when I went out, he had my kettle of ale, like the head magician. And apparently that was used to summon me.
Yeah, that's what we used to summon you.
Cool. Like a demented genie.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Rub one out, comes a sausage.
Just the tip.
Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I think it's Alex now. Sorry, I think it's Otis. A sausage comes out. following the sausage.
Ketchup in hand, ready.
Where's that fucking sausage got?
I can still sell it for a crown.
But, yeah, so, and then he passed it to me, and he was like, I think you'll remember this. And I was like, oh, I do, it's Mikkel.
It's Mikkel.
Because with Whispers Through the Black Gate, you are able to be aware that you died, and likely the circumstances of your death, but you don't remember anything after the point in which you died, which is why it's really difficult for scholars to understand what happens in the labyrinth, because even when they bring a spirit back to speak to, they have no memory of it. And then, we had a really good chat, and I was getting a little choked up because I saw that you were, and then Rook said a few words, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I think it was that point I was like, oh, God, I'm going to fucking crack up, because they started talking about the dread shields and everything.
Yeah.
And the magician turned to me and was like, is there anything that you'd like to say in response? And I was like, yeah, just say thanks. That's all I got to say. I couldn't speak for too much longer. But and then it was lovely.
Yeah, so I was asking questions about kind of what had happened, and it was then that Otis had told Niamh that it was Murdoch that had took him down. And
I think, didn't you already know that, but you didn't know
the circumstances? The so, yeah. It, but it was a bit touchy with details and things, yeah. But and they were like, you know, the time's closing, so is there anything you want to say last minute? And I think I was just like, just tell him that I love him, I think, were like the last sort of things. And then once it was closing, I couldn't speak to him, so I stepped out the radio, grabbed my sword from the floor, marched straight over to Murdoch. So Ollie and I had obviously spoken OC about what we had wanted. You know, we had checked in, like, right, how do you want to play this, whatever, and we'd kind of set, like, boundaries, like, you know, this is, if I feel like it's getting too much, then this is what I'll do, and this is what we'll say, and things like this. So we had touched base roughly, but we were like, you know, it's kind of open to interpretation. And then, yeah, I think Niamh just started shouting. I don't really fully remember what I had said. I don't ever remember a lot of things, really, do I? Terrible, terrible podcast host. But, no, so I was just screaming. I was bawling my eyes out at this point, and I think that's what made it worse, because screaming and crying. But I was like, you were meant to save him, and instead you're the one that killed him. How could you? You're meant to pick us up on the ground, not put us down. He trusted you. How can I ever trust you again? And he was like, and Murdoch was like, I did what was best for the unit. He was going to kill us all. And I'm like, but you didn't even give him the chance. You didn't even check to see if he was okay. Just executed him without even a second thought. How could you? And yeah, we're just going back and forth, having like a big old shouting match about it. And I felt myself getting actually angry.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not angry at Murdoch here. I'm angry at Oily. I was like, I need to walk away.
Yeah.
So that's, so I decided to, like, we'd kind of said, like, if it got too much, I would just be like, I was just going to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't speak to you, and walk off. And I was just bawling my eyes out, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I just walked away. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I walked away. And yeah, a couple of the dreads followed after me, but then most of them had gone or stayed with Murdoch and gone that way. But the couple that followed me, you know, we had just a bit of a chat about things. Edric was there. I don't know if they had witnessed what had happened or what, but they came after me and was like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And so I told them about Austin, which they weren't best pleased about. And we were having like a little bit of a Navarre catch up, I suppose. You're talking about, you know, it's going to get really difficult on the lines with lack of leadership. And, you know, we just having a bit of a catch up, but it was nice. And I was saying to Edric, I was like, look, like, if I were to act upon how I feel right now towards Murdoch, then there wouldn't just be repercussions within the Dreadshield. There would be repercussions within Navarre for it and on my life. Like, you know, if the, you know, whether the militia got involved or other people, you know, it would cause waves. And right now, Niamh's got too many responsibilities to be causing waves. So she was like, you know, my saying for the weekend was, I'm not stupid, I'm just emotional. I was like, you know, I'm emotional, but I'm not stupid. So I'm not going to do anything right now. But yeah, and then had a chat with Radek, Prince of the Reapers, about what could possibly come from this bit of information. But yeah, so that was kind of that sort of bit for now. And then I was like, I just want to go and get drunk.
Yeah, I rocked up for the shouting match because I annoyingly had to go and swear in the banner at military council, which is apparently an important part of my game.
As a merc, yeah, maybe.
As a merc, yeah. It's so much paperwork too, because I also had to run around and find out who the new general was of Wintermark, because at the start of the game they had an election, which pretty much gives you an hour to find out which general you're swearing to.
Incredible.
And then get the paperwork, well, not paperwork done, but find out how many troops you have, which general you're swearing to, which is very annoying if they're getting sworn in all the time or dying. Luckily, I managed to find the general at the tent and ask, are you still the general? Which he was, which is a nice little thing. I was able to walk a new Verushkan mercenary banner through how you swear in, because you've got to say a particular phrases and words in a certain order in order for it to count and you not be laughed out of the tent in mockery. So for anyone who's interested in mercenary company, it is I of your company swear X amount of troops to general of this army. And that's pretty much what you have to do. But it's an important piece of work because you need the numbers right for the force weightings. They need to know who's fighting for who. So it's a big, big part of the game. But it's like, I should send people to do it. But I also like doing it myself because I know if I fuck up, it's my fuck up. But I also know how to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from that, got on the tail end, ran back to the camp. Then ran straight up to the Regio, got the shouting match.
How was it from your point of view?
In Nietzsche's point of view, it was fantastic entertainment. I rocked up with a pint in hand.
Incredible.
Said to the Reapers, well, you don't get entertainment like this in the league. Usually if we had an argument like this, it'd be end up with a strongly worded letter. And if it was really bad, it'd be a meeting. But you did a fucking fantastic job. But in the midst of you shouting at Murdoch, I noticed a cricket who hadn't paid their guild tithes, seen me yet. So I go up to them and just put my head on their shoulder and like, hello, cricket, where's my money?
Bloody hell.
Which, sorry it was on your emotional time, but for me it felt like comedic highlighting.
That's perfect Nietzsche, though.
This all looks very
emotional. Cricket, where's my fucking money?
Then I had a Reaper next to me. He's like, Nietzsche, where's my fucking money? Because I bought a wonderful signet ring from Ricardo, I believe his name is, of the Reapers. Solid brass, jackdaw signet, bargain price. Sadly, I mismeasured my finger, so it was bigger than my thumb. He's going to be lovely and remeasure that for next event. But, yeah, I owe him 2.5 thrones.
Crikey.
Well worth it, though, for a LARP memento. It's going to go into my LARP box.
Yeah, nice. I'm trying to remember what I did Friday. I think my Friday was fairly relaxed after that point until midnight.
You had a big meeting. You had a big meeting at the Orzel tent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I like how Tom I remember knows. Your schedule.
Yes, yes. I caught the tail end of Earl's Council.
Yeah, okay.
So I'd missed all the Griffin's Pride drama at Earl's Council, but arrived just in time for the Earl of the Groves drama.
Okay, so explain to the listeners, what is the Earl of the Groves drama? Because I have no clue either.
The Carrasse are a sept of orcs within the Barons, former slaves of the Druge. And they had told us that there was some fell creature deep within the untrod groves within the Barons that could have been a manticore.
Ooh, a man to the core?
That doesn't make any sense. Manticores live in deserts, probably not a manticore. Anyway, some people are allowed to take the downtime option to go explore the untrod groves. And quite a lot of people did. Enough people went, in fact, to discover what lay at the heart of the untrod groves. Unfortunately, they discovered there was a magic there that was making them lost and making it hard to traverse through, separated them from their Carrasse guides. And the magic was... there's a spring ritual which creates a fort which makes places hard to tread, but that shouldn't stop Dornish people because Barons belongs to the Empire. So they're like, well, why? That doesn't make any sense. Why are we not able to make it through? And then I think the civil service said that it was effectively that ritual says whoever's got the best claim to an area gets the benefits of the ritual. So that means that something within the untrod groves has a higher claim to the land. Anyway, eventually all these people managed to make their way through to the heart of the untrod groves. And it is there that they meet the Earl of the Groves, who is a manticore. So for those of you who don't know what a manticore is, it's like the body of a lion with a human face and a tail with spiked barbs on it.
Sounds like a fun little pet.
But it was also shapeshifted into a person.
Oh, stunning.
And that person looked like an earl and had, like, robes and, you know, looked like an earl and was surrounded by nobles and yeofolk. And they were, but the nobles and the yeofolk all seemed to move as one, as if they were just extensions of the Earl of the Groves.
Weird.
And the Earl of the Groves was like, I'm a Dornish Earl and you trespassed on my land. And as it would hit them with its tail, it would hit people with its tail, their soul would get sucked from their body.
Fun.
And they would become a vassal or a vessel for the Earl of the Untrod Groves. Anyway, everyone fled. They saw this Dornish manor with this Dornish Earl nobles, but it was a manticore, and they fled. Anyway, after this, the Earl of the Groves started sending out emissaries, sending these vessels or vassals out to other houses to try and bring them on side. And a few Dornish NPC houses have gone like, yeah, all right, I like this, what this guy's saying. And they sent some of their emissaries to Earl's Council. And there was this representative of the Earl of the Untrod Groves, who was a manticore, sat there being like, my Earl, right, just wants to be recognised as a Dornish citizen. That's all he wants. And if you do it, he'll help build one of your armies. He'll provide some of his vassals to fight in your army. And it was like, you just have to say, Earl's Council just has to say here and now that you think he's a Dornish citizen. Now, there was then a good amount of debate around what defines a Dornish citizen, which I didn't partake in because I wasn't an earl at the time. But I was. It was an interesting conversation, seeing what people thought it meant to be Dornish. Because I think that the manticore put up some pretty good points that made him sound very Dornish. But we, in the end, the Earl's Council voted not to recognise the manticore as a Dornish citizen. But it was just very cool seeing this this person be like, look, he's just a guy. Yeah, sure, he's destroying people's souls, but they trespassed.
Half the Empire's doing that anyway. It's fine.
They trespassed on his land. What, you would do the same.
Get off my land.
If someone came onto your territory, you'd have every right to kill them. That's just what he did. And when they were like, no, he's like, well, that's a shame. Well, the deal's still on the table. So if you ever do decide that I'm my Earl is a Dornish citizen, you're welcome. But it was very cool. It was very interesting. We could have had a monstrous army, which is a shame.
I kind of wish so you good. Did.
Yeah.
I would have fucked
I mean, we up. Had the Iron Helm, so that kind of was a monstrous army.
But it would have been cool to have a monstrous army, but Earl's Council, like, no, you're not Dornish, so yeah.
I just want to quickly ask, like, feel free to not answer. Where do you stand with the whole Griffin's Pride thing?
Oh.
So I just want to know. Because
I can
I've
say
heard,
now, I think, probably.
Because I've heard two sides of things, but, like, it's mostly like the OC matters of things, which, you know, I know we can't really discuss too much, but, like, I've heard a few people saying, you know, and I do agree with both sides in all fairness, like, PD should have gone, hey, these are going to be the repercussions. Are you, like, just making you aware, are you happy with this? Because it's such a big ramification. But also, at the end of the day, it's a game. Like, if you do something bad, you do something bad, you... The consequences, you
I mean,
know?
From an OC
like,
perspective...
if you die, you die. Like,
from an OC perspective, they did.
Oh, did they?
So when it happened, they put a massive post out, highlighted the big box, being like, if you follow the Griffin's Pride, you're committing murder.
Okay.
And the sentence for that is death.
And did they give people the option to stop?
Yeah, that was before downtime was even open. They said, if you follow the Griffin's Pride, you will have committed murder.
Oh, well, there you go, then.
And the sentence for murder is death.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, like,
a lot of
fair
people,
enough.
Yeah, that's, I think PD was crystal clear on that.
Bless you.
PD was crystal clear on that as they could have been. But yeah, if people didn't read that, sure, but they did everything, in my opinion, they did everything they could to be like, hey, if you do this.
Sorry, I tried to hold that in.
Keep it in. PD did everything he could to be like, if you do this, you're doing a murder. And they also said, if you try to stop this, you are also technically doing a murder. However, magistrates don't usually punish people for crimes they commit trying to stop a crime. So the people went to defend the Ravin were going to be killing people, but they were like, but you're doing it to stop a crime. The magistrates won't press charges.
Fair enough.
So they laid it all out.
That's fair. I didn't know that they had. And like I just kind of heard like a bit. But like I was more on the side like, yeah, maybe PD should have done, but... I was more on the case of, like, if you go to do, like, every time you step out on that battlefield, if you go and fight, like, you know that there's a chance your character dies. If you've made that choice and your character dies, like, that's just the game.
Yeah. I can understand if PD hadn't said it. Part of me would be like, I don't know how you could have missed that. Because again, you read those orders, you're like, oh, that's murder.
Sure.
That's going to be murder. But if you didn't do that and you still have made a misinterpretation, then you see that they put an into it. They're like, this is murder. You will... Now, in the game of Empire, you are allowed, if you commit a crime, and then you get a priest to convince the magistrates that the crime was super duper virtuous, then you will get off. You won't be sentenced the full thing. I think some people thought they might get away with it on the basis of it being virtuous.
I heard, and I can't remember the name of this virtue defender, but they had a virtue defender based off Saul Goodman, and that just makes me very, very happy.
Excellent. Yeah, full on, full on.
Your Honor,
sleazy.
My client here is an idiot.
I think the best quote I heard from somebody, which does make me laugh a lot, was they said, I see. The whole Bleeding Empire has been built off killing stupid heretical orcs and taking their stuff. Why am I being told off for doing it? And I was like, that's really funny, because that's really true. Yeah,
fair enough. All right.
So funny.
Case in point, I guess.
But yes, I as far as I care, as far as I can tell, PD laid out the consequences very clearly.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah. I see. I spoke about it in Senate. I spoke about it to people during my election and stuff. I was very much on the side. I was very much like, there's a griffin and the unicorn. And I was very much like, I'm not worrying either, because I don't fully align with the values of either of you. And I don't think division's a good idea. Was kind of where I stood. More on the, but I went to save the Raven. So I was more on, I was on the side of like, I was more on the side of, do you know what, actually? I'm not going to push my IC agenda on this. Yeah. But very much, I went to save the Raven, but I didn't wear a badge all weekend.
Fair enough.
Tristan did yell pretty angrily at Arcavian, so that's kind of where I was at. But yeah.
Yeah. I was just curious.
It was really interesting. And I think the conversations that I did have with people were good. There were some people being horrific out of character.
Really?
Yeah. Just really bad.
Lead be real.
Yeah, Lee be really real, man.
I mean, what's the ancient phrase? Touch grass.
Yeah, like...
I mean, like, I get... Sometimes bleed does happen. Like, I was just saying that when I was shouting at... When Niamh was shouting at Murdoch, it didn't... there was a point where it didn't feel like Niamh was shouting at Murdoch. It felt like Chloe was shouting at Oily. But I was like, hey, I need to call it there and walk away. Like, I recognise, like, I'm not just playing angry. I feel angry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
I
recognise
we're all
that.
Adults, though. We should be in control of our emotions of this fictional world.
Yeah.
You have a bit more of an excuse because it was your OC partner who was kind of murdered and therefore the bleed kind of intertwines.
Yeah, but still, like, you know, everyone's going to feel real emotions there, like, because we are those people to some degree. But when you, if you recognise that it's taking over and you no longer feel that it is a game anymore and it feels too real, that's when you need to take a step back. And just that some people don't quite know that point.
Yeah. But... yeah, again, I had some good conversations. I really enjoyed the conversations I had with people who disagreed.
Yeah.
Who were on the other side of it, who were normal people out of character. I was like, this is good because we can have, this is a really good game, right? Yeah. This debate. But yes, that was, I guess, what was Earl's Council was. Eventually, so my wonderful fiance Emma joined us as Lady Sibir de Mercial. And she'd been sat in Earl's Council. And eventually I was like, do you know what? This is too boring. I've been here for the fun bit. Let's go find a bar.
I enjoyed you coming out of the tent to find me waiting for my next meeting because you were very, very surprised to see me
there.
Yeah,
just Nietzsche just appearing. Hello.
I was outside. I was like, I can see Morgan's face in there. God, is he handsome. God, he looks bored.
Just sending.
Biggest fan over
throwing
there.
Stuff into the tent. Tristan.
It's the hot Tristan, dogs. Look the at hot me. Dogs from the kettle. We're just lobbing them over to...
but I think I went to Hens after that.
Oh, nice.
I think I went to Hens for a drink and lay in your cushioned area.
Our private room, worth every penny.
Yes.
Of our free service.
Yes. But I think that was me basically till midnight. So what was everyone else cooking up?
Well, don't you mind. So I was out Orzel's tent because I was waiting to sign a mercenary contract.
Oh, you're coming back to Dawn.
Coming back to Dawn, baby. Yeah. Modesto has been a very busy second and... working through player event season to get us a contract signed up. So House Orzel pretty much liked us off the bat, but they wanted to sit down with me and Modesto to kind of finalise things and really get into the nitty-gritty of what the mercenary game can bring to them and what the Jackdaws pretty much stand for and do. Spoilers, we stand for cash. We will do what you pay for. But it was very nice. we've never been wined and dined at a mercenary signing before, so I felt like a very, very important person. So that really, really stroke Nietzsche's ego. It almost felt like, look at us now, going from free thrones and not even a drink to sat down at a professional setting, guests of honour. You fuckers drank the wine dry, unfortunately.
It was done before I got there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But they did bring out some special champagne for us.
Very nice.
And I did eat a bread roll because that is the first thing I had eaten in about 10 hours. So I was like, Modesto, this food, please pass me the bread. But it was a lot of fun. We discussed what we could do for each other, what they would expect, how they fought as a unit. So very much walk to the front, act as an anvil. We will be doing flanking maneuvers, supporting and bringing our healing block to the fore. It was quite fun because they had their Earl, we had me as my prince, and then they had the version of Modesto next to them as well. I brought out the contract, all official to sign, because we've actually got pre-written military contracts to save gaming times. Like, you can just sign how much you want to pay, how long the contract's for, give us a signature, bing, bang, bosh, done. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. I felt like a very important person.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah. And then it was seeing another Reaper down at the bottom of the table because they had business there after us. It's really fun ribbing into the Reapers a bit and having that frenemy gameplay, if that makes sense.
Does it? You could say frenemy.
Frenemy.
I think you're just mates.
Best friends forever. We need to have Reaper Jackdaw friendship bracelets, I think, at this point.
It's like a very much like big brother, little brother situation. Like,
yeah.
You tease each other, but not because you don't like each other, because you're like, we're one of the same.
Yeah. We have little brothers now. There's quite a few mercenary companies that are newer than the Jackdaws. We almost feel like a veteran company now, which is lovely. Yeah.
You're the old guard now.
Oh. Yeah, it was quite fun. At one point, one of the mercenary companies kind of came up to us to give us a bit of aggro game because there was a leaguer posting posters around saying, we are the rats. We hate what you've done for us. We will make the rat stompers suffer. So
they liked the rats, did they?
They did like the rats. So the Bloodied Rose, obviously really good mates with them, come up and say, Nietzsche, we've got an issue. Sit down. So, no, fine. I'll sit down in my own camp. Thank you for inviting me. Lucky you're here without any of your bodyguards. Okay, what's it up? So they explained to me, look, one of your jackdaws has been putting these posters around, supporting the rats, calling us out. In fact, there they are now. So, like whippets, their bravos go and chase them down. I'd love to just look him in the eye, smile, say, you know that ain't one of mine, right? To which his face just drops, bless him. Like, I've got to go. Yeah, you probably should. At this point, another of my jackdaws has gone to kind of protect that person as well. But it was just some fantastic, like,
you know, that's not
comedy
one of,
gameplay.
You know that's not one of mine. I fucking love it.
Yeah, so one of mine went to protect them. It was just a hilarious face of, oh, shit, this... Oh, dear. Beef with wrong person.
Oop-dee.
What about you guys? What have you been up to at this point? Had you emotionally calmed down from high drama roleplay?
I think I was fine pretty much straight after. Because obviously I had to go back into God Tent. And then I was like, oh, shit, I need to get my bearer kit. Because I'd left it with Steve, which is a big, quite cumbersome hero belt. And then a giant throw thing that I wear as a cape, and I came outside and I saw you screaming at Oily, and I was like, I just want to find my clothes. So I went over to Steve and he was there draped in it like a lampshade, bless him, and I said, can I have that back, thank you. And then I became bearer again, and then yeah, I think the evening was very much just kind of chilled after that.
I feel like there was something else I had done, I really cannot remember, but I know that at 11 o'clock I have been invited to the Embercast camp. So I mentioned that Austin had died in between E4 last year and E1 this year, so in The Long Dark. And it was Rizart from Black Scar who... they must have obviously sorted this out, but he was with Austin when he died and handed him a letter to read out to the Embers. So I'd been invited to the reading for that, which I thought was really sweet to be included. It was really emotional. So he was just writing to Embercast to, you know, say his goodbyes. And he started to name a few people within the letter. And you know, were saying like, oh, you know, I always believed in you and blah, blah, blah. And then I think the third or fourth name to maybe get read out was Neve. I was like, oh, okay. Was not expecting that. And yeah, some final last words from Austin to Neve, which were, I think she really needed to hear them. They were really nice and sweet. Made me choke up a lot. And so they were all doing a toast to him, and saying some kind words and things. And Neve piped up. I was like, you know, like, I know that the friendship between the Dread Shields and Embercast is fairly new. But I just want, because they lost a lot last year, especially last event. Like, they lost a lot of their lot, which must have been devastating for them. But I was saying, you know, as long as there are Dread Shields still standing, you still have family standing. If anything that you guys need and we can provide, we'll do. You know, we're all kin in all of this. And it was really nice. And I was like, you know, you've always got friends with us. And Griffin, who now Neve and Griffin have got like a nice little bond. He stood up and hugged me. He was like, you're not a friend of the Embercast, you're family. He gave me a big old cuddle. And I was like, oh my little heart. But Neve was keeping an eye on Griffin throughout the weekend because he was going through the motions, bless him. But it was a good weekend for him because he's now the new strategist for Navar, which good for him. But yeah, and I know that Egypt needed a break, bless them. They've been through the ringer recently. And Griff will do fantastically. So, you know, Embercast needed a win with that. But so that's what I was doing. And there were some gifts that came with the letter, which were really nice. So apologies, Adam. I don't actually know what they are. there's like some little like wooden like tokens. One of them has the Embercast logo on. And then the other two, I don't know if they mean something or if they're just like pretty decorations. I probably should get someone to actually look at them and figure them out. But I've attached them onto my hero belt, so now I've always got that little token with me. Yeah, after that, I have a cheeky little drink. Didn't go to Songs and Stories because it was fucking freezing.
I thought this Friday night was a lot warmer than
Thursday. Thursday was Baltic. Friday was Baltic.
Yeah. One thing I did see that was really cool at Military Council when swearing in the banner, all the army's generals who lost their armies in Ferunan, or maybe their regiments, I don't know, went up and just put their banners on the table and walked off.
Yeah, I heard about this.
That
like,
was fucking
like a
sick.
Mic drop moment. Yeah, I heard about that. So I'll be hearing a lot more about this side of the game.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm curious about that story because just the epicness of that moment, you really felt the gravitas of what happened in Ferunan.
Like, it's. Obviously, it was voted that we were not going to go and go back to Thrunen for the battles over the weekend. And people were really feeling the anger from that. And that's going to cause a lot of waves. But yeah, the whole situation with Thrunen, it's so, so messy.
Yeah, I don't go to Thrunen. Not.
It's fucked.
Mm. It's still contested, right? It's not.
Nope.
You won it back?
No.
You lost it.
So it's contested,
it.
Then, isn't it? Isn't it half Druge, half Navarre now, or is it still fully Druge? I thought the battle had made it contested, but I could be very wrong.
I could be wrong because I don't pay attention.
Either way, it's not Navarre's.
No.
Yeah.
I thought we had fully lost it.
I thought it'd been lost, and then over downtime it became contested. I could be wrong, though. It might still be very much not contested.
What year have we just...
You'll be the Wind of War for 386 winter.
So since... Oh, no, that's 367.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah. So the Druze...
No, wait, no. 3-8.
Yeah.
So we've just come to the end of 386.
Yeah, so that's 367.
I'm not going to lie. I'm happy word for Runan. It's an E1. I'm quite content with a Jotun... A simple Jotun fight to really work up the muscles again and learn how things go. You had the Grendel.
Yeah, we fought some Children of the Wrecks. Yeah, that was fine. We'll get to that on time.
Yeah, that'd be tomorrow.
387, Spring Equinox, Winds of War. But no, it won't be spring.
No, it'd be winter.
There's only the spring on there.
Oh, well, anyway. Either way, it's still not Imperial. But yeah, Navarre have lost an army.
Yep.
And they are currently down to two territories. Liathaven and Miaren.
Yes.
Because you've lost Thrunin. No, you lost Liathaven, didn't you? What have you got left? Miaren.
We've got Hesynia and Miaren.
That's it. Because Liathaven is Jotun.
Yeah.
Thrunin is Druge.
We lost Thrunin in 386.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Ew. Yeah. So people are talking about how fucked the Brass Coast are. Navarre is very, very, very close to being that fucked.
Navarre and the Brass Coast are both currently fucked. Like, it's
very fucked.
Yeah. I don't know.
And said, oh, let's go to the Children of the Wrecks, because that's more important.
To be fair, I guess the conversation is because from memory, the battles in Thrunin weren't military out. Well, they were, but there was less. Like, I think it was like, some good things might happen if we go to Thrunin. Some bad things will happen if we don't do the Children of the Wrecks.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's obviously reasoning for all of
it. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought there was nothing to be lost if we didn't do these two battles we actually did, but there would be something for the Thrunin.
Because the Children of the Wrecks one was they were gonna unleash a horrific spring thing on the Doubt.
That's not Pog.
Yeah, and then it was just going to get worse.
But yeah, so Navarre is very fucked, in other words.
Meanwhile, to Sato. Is that a Jotun over? Nah, nothing happens. It's just Sato. We're good.
Holberg. Can you see any barbarians? No, I can't see any barbarians.
Better build a wall anyway.
Better build another wall. Just in case.
You never know. The Dornish might be back.
I hear the Dornish doing murder now, mate. Maybe we should build another wall.
A bigger wall.
It's Grandma's 86th birthday. Wall to celebrate.
Nothing is inevitable except that Holberg will build more walls.
There's nothing in Holberg anymore. It's just solid.
The empire will fall, but Holberg will still stand.
You've just built a wall so high that you've domed it in. There's no sunlight. Crops aren't growing.
Stone.
But fuck it. It's protected.
Look, the Dornish are still salty. They didn't get this city. So, Christ.
Did you do anything else this night, Alex? Or
I think we had a little walk out and kind of like a semi little pub crawl type thing.
Nice.
But I just wanted to call it relatively early, so it went back. I'd already sold like half of my mead at this point. You know, the little basket that I usually carry around with the mead in? That didn't leave camp for the whole weekend. It was literally just people coming in and inquiring, have you got the cherry mead, and selling it from there. So I think I sold about half of that. And then, yeah, Friday was just catching up with people. I knew we were fighting the next day, so I didn't want to go too crazy.
Yeah, I did the same, really. I didn't really drink Friday night. We waited. People went to Westwall, waited for people to come back, made my hot water bottle to pop in my sleeping bag and went to sleep, really. But I was feeling really unwell, wasn't I?
Yeah. You had flu, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, it was equivalent of. I was dying. Bless. So I had a terrible night's sleep. But
I went to Prince's meeting. Hooray!
Yippee!
And I actually had a point this time.
Yippee!
Will asked me to advertise the Clattering Curtain for the theatre performances and the Summer Magic they can cast. And boy, howdy, did I absolutely love the reaction. Nietzsche, you haven't brought up emotion in 4 years for yourself. And the first one you do is to fucking shill your serves. You used the Merchant Prince's slot as an advert. Yes, I did.
Yes, indeed.
It was also when I spoke a lot, I had a lot of points for, but because they wanted to, like, really get through the meeting within an hour, every time I put my hand up, Radic or another person would just, I think it was actually the leader of the Bloody Road, would put a hip flask in my hand, like, quiet, Nietzsche, sir.
That's one way to shut him up.
Ah, booze.
That's so funny. Oh, Christ.
So really give a child some sweets to shut them up. Just give Nietzsche some booze and he will shut up.
Yeah, I was on a warpath that time. It's like, I want to bring up a lot of points and fight. But yeah.
Just got drunk and fought.
And then went to Wine Club, which then Morgan turned up for.
Yes, so before that, I had been gone for drinks at Hens with Lady Sabir.
What do you think of our low prices?
Oh, I best prices in Anvil. It's crazy.
This is not OC Shilling. We are the best prices in Anvil.
No, it was very, very inexpensive alcohol. But I went with Lazy Beer, and then I was discussing kind of like Tristan's, you know, sort of things I want to get done in Dawn and things that need to happen and things that need to fix. And I was like, it's the Weirwater senatorial elections tomorrow. Maybe I should stop complaining. Maybe I should run for senator. And I was like, tomorrow I'm going to run for senator.
Not going to lie, that was not on my Tristan bingo cards. I thought Tristan would go general military route rather than the politics route.
No, I was never going to do military route. I know that sounds weird, but I was never going to go military route. I was like, maybe I should stand and see how it goes. So I decided to do that and started to speak to a few Weirwater nobles that I know. I was like, oh, if you vote for tomorrow, I am running for election. I would love to have your vote. I had then went through the Sentinel Gate to meet with the Raven, the ones that were left. They'd been invited. Irahara had invited, because Irahara supports the downtrodden. Irahara had asked for people who had supported the Raven to come through the Sentinel Gate. A lot of people with a lot more expertise than me were talking to the Raven, so I was like letting them get on. Excuse me. I was letting them get on with it. I saw Twig through the gate.
But he's still waiting for a cure.
But we had, it was interesting, some talks. We got what they wanted from the Empire and stuff to show that we could trust them and things. That was pretty cool. And then I came back through the gate, took a bottle of wine all the way up to the Reaper camp because I had my invitation for Reaper Wine Club.
Joe did an absolutely amazing job with the invitation.
He fully did. Got to the tent, got stopped at the door. Step back, mate. What are you doing? I was like, oh, it's fine, I'm invited. And he was like, take two steps back. I was like, basically like, do you know who I am? I was like, trying to catch Radic's eye. And I went to go reach my invite. He was like, what are you doing? I was like, getting my invitation, leave me alone. Like, scrambling. So I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, full on, like, I want to speak to the manager type thing. Pulled
it out. I bet you fucking love that.
And I was like, gave it to them. And they're like, after you, so I was like, thank you. And like, marched, and I was like, Radic, your security's a nightmare.
You know, that you're the only one to get stopped from security. The security was only put there because so much riffraff got in beforehand.
So funny.
Because Murdoch's allowed in.
I was being
Cricket's allowed in.
I was being so belligerent at the door, being like, how dare you let me in? Went to Radic, I said, here's my wine. Really sorry I was late. Bloody well, I'm running for Senate tomorrow. Chat to you a bunch. Opened the wine, it got poured, I sipped some. That tastes like piss. I gave it a 4 and left.
You got Loveday to pour it out.
Yeah, I got Loveday to pour it out. I tried to, I was like, that's awful. A sea wolf tried to get me to pay him to rate it more. I was like, no, it tastes like piss.
I tried to get him to, paid him to rate it down because there was rumours if someone else got the worst line, they got my medal. I would never part with my worst wine medal. I paid him 10 rings to pay it down. He sent it upwards. He gave it a 9.
Who won?
It was one of the Reapers. I can't remember their names. Okay. It was actually delicious wine. Absolutely fantastic.
Oily has set
the new record of worst wine at Wine Club. With the grand score out of like usually like a 10 of a 1.
Incredible.
Because the Seawolf implemented negative numbers into it.
Incredible. But then I retired to my quarters and that was my Friday.
Yeah, Wine Club ended it for me. I love the idea. It was originally meant to be for leaguers to discuss important politics. Now it's just become a piss house where we occasionally discuss politics and schemes, but drink a shit ton of wine.
Yeah. And there's like foreigners there.
So many foreigners. Yeah,
is it just me or was there other non-leaguers?
Loveday's were there. Loveday's there. Murdoch gets an invite every time because he's technically a founder of Wine Club.
I forget that Murdoch's not in the league.
Yeah, he's basically a leaguer.
He's basically a leaguer, really.
Yeah, Loveday's the cupbearer, does an excellent job. But yeah, that was my Friday. What about you guys? Anything left to talk about for Friday?
No, they went to bed, didn't they?
Yeah, saving our energy for Saturday, I reckon.
Perfect.
Yeah, because there was a lot riding on my shoulders for Saturday.
Mm. Friday's always such a busy day, especially E1. Friday's, it's like the motor's
mental.
Going.
Mental.
I know I did more things, I just cannot remember them.
Yeah.
In which case, should we finish off this week's episode?
Yeah, you
go
have
on then.
Comments to comment on there. 5-star reviews.
So, yes, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. As those of you who listened for a long time will know, I have a legal obligation to read out every single 5-star review that we receive on this podcast, either YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. I haven't been able to access Spotify, so I apologize if there is a Spotify review I've missed. But I have a couple here to read out. So I have one on one from Apple Podcasts.
Woo!
This was from October 2024. My word. Just some little guys. Always lovely to hear a lot of podcasts from so many perspectives around the Empire. With so many things to do and see around Anvil, it's nice to hear about all the things that you could have done if you were five people at once, and hearing about the emotions and passions that these five people bring to Anvil, bringing to Anvil and LARP in general, makes the long dark between events much more enjoyable. Thank you very much, Albert.
Some people do say that we are just five people in a trench coat.
Five podcasters in a trench coat. And then I've got one, my phone's really low, so I want to get to this one.
Go.
This is from Dead Not Sleeping. Five stars. Because Morgan, the last I checked, hey there, long-time lurker, some guys sometimes question asker, and because Morgan is contractually obligated to read this, two-part question. One, what is the quickest way to earn coin at Anvil? And two, approximately how much in crowns and thrones or rings would a full suit minus helmet of poly armor bring at Anvil? And then they said I wrote this during the video, so five stars.
Smut, I say. Hand-drawn smut seems to go down a treat, because that's not flooded the field too much yet.
Or booze. Mm. I mean, Alex sells his booze very quickly and for a lot
booze,
of money.
Really. Some booze goes down like a treat, some down
mead always
go
goes
down
well.
Consumables.
I
think anything people can consume, people will pay for.
But mostly savoury, because there are so many sweet treats out in the field. Savoury, whenever I hear about a savoury treat, I'm all over those.
I don't think I could take 10 paces without being offered a brownie.
Yeah.
If you can get a... If you could cook tomahawk steaks, I hear that's a great way to make coin.
No, don't ruin the market.
But yeah, I think that at the minute hot food is a real win in character.
Yes.
If you want to put the time and the effort and the actual money.
But it's not the quickest way
that.
To make money, is it?
No. I reckon, like, oh, sorry, go.
No.
I was going to say, like, with how quick you managed to sell your mead, Alex.
Without even trying, I sold all of my mead, and it's not even cheap.
I mean, I feel like if you want to get a foot on the into the economy game.
I see where you're going with this.
If you want to get started in the economy game, you start with Cakenomics, which is selling.
I hate Cakenomics.
Food and drink for coin.
It ruins my immersion.
But then once you've got there, you can do things like start investing in the bourse and stuff.
Yeah.
So once you and then also the way a lot of people say to make money is so you buy resources in bulk and sell them individually. So buy like a shit ton of iridescent gloaming, and then because you're buying it in a big bulk, you get cheaper, and then you sell it at a more expensive rate.
I think if you're starting off as well, it's got to be don't sell to the first person. Go and find the person willing to pay a ring or two more for each item, or go and find the people willing to sell it for a ring or two less item, because rings
like
make crowns.
Sounds like a lot of effort for just like rings.
It's not a game I could.
It's, yeah.
That'd have to be like your full time job.
But that's if you've not got out of character money to invest into stuff to sell items.
Yeah,
also don't have that.
But then once you get to that point, you can then start buying lanes, which go for like 2 to 5 thrones. Then you can start making them. And then a few people, the boss, what happens is they sell like boss seats. And what some people do is they have shares in the boss seat. So the one person's name is on the boss seat, but they'll often sell shares in it, which is like big economy game. But the quickest, dirtiest way to make money at Anvil is Cakenomics. Bring out of character stuff, sell it for in character money.
And unique stuff as well that's not usually seen, like make it a little bit different. I think that'd work well.
Yeah. Full suit of poly armor. Don't sell it IC would be my advice, because I don't think there's any amount of IC coin that's going to help you recoup your losses.
No.
Realistically, a full set of polyplate armors, well, I don't even know. Like
A full set, I'm reckoning, would be around 300 to 500 quid.
300 to 500 quid, right? If you're, let's say, you know, because back in the day, a pint was 5 rings.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to do some really bad maths to make sure it makes sense. Let's say that it's £5 a pint in the real world, 5 rings a pint at Anvil, 1 ring's a quid. So you've got 500 quid, that's 500 rings, which is what in thrones?
A lot.
500 divided by 20 is 25. 25 divided by 8 is roughly 4 thrones.
That's not much money.
And that's not a lot of money for a full set of armor.
Blimey.
I think I just did some heinous maths, but I don't know.
Considering a wane, a piece of paper of make-believe land goes for 5 thrones-ish.
Yeah. Sell it, OC.
I bought a set of greaves. Some guy came round on
braces.
Braces, sorry, on Sunday afternoon. And 4 crowns for
that's crazy
real leather, both forearms, and they had metal kind of like into them.
Yeah.
So they would have counted as heavy if I wanted to use them as heavy. 4 crowns.
That's crazy.
I jumped at the bit.
Yeah. Now, my advice would be don't. And sell it on like Facebook Marketplace or something.
Yeah, because then you could sell, use that money you used for the armor to buy booze to sell for the get money, which you'll make more money on.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, on that note, great Friday.
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We should be back soon with our coverage for Saturday. Please don't forget to follow, comment, share, like on all our different socials.
Subscribe.
Telling people about the podcast is the best way for us to more people to listen to the podcast, so it'd be great if you can tell your friends and leave us a review. That does help us very much as well. If you'd like £15 off your next Empire ticket, our discount codes are in the description below. And that, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Toodle.
Thank you. Bye. Goodbye. Bye.